be here this afternoon, and I see a number of the kitchen staff has joined us, and certainly want to say thank you to all of you. That was a tremendous lunch. Thank you very much. It's our pleasure to be here and talk a little bit about the ministry of CMML, and I'm sure most of you here know a lot about CMML, but we find from time to time that confusion does creep in about what the work of CMML is. There are a lot of, quote, mission boards in Christendom today, and frequently we get confused with a mission board. And my comments today are going to be focused on CMML, and that doesn't say that the Lord isn't working with mission boards. He is. Praise the Lord for it. But the ministry of CMML is somewhat different, and we believe biblically different. And we wanted to just outline that for you this afternoon. I'm going to talk a little bit about the background of CMML, and then Bob Bennett is going to come up and talk. Bob is the chairman of the publishing committee, and he's going to talk a lot about what we do in the way of publishing material, the magazine, the prayer book, etc., videos, books, and things like that. But first, we just wanted to talk about the background of CMML. CMML, the organization called Christian Missions in Many Lands, was formed originally in 1921. And then in about 1971, a number of assembly mission organizations determined that individually, while they were providing service to, in a variety of ways, that it would be best to consolidate these services. And organizations that you may have heard of, one called Voices from the Vineyard, an organization that was formed in 1904, an organization called the Julia Hassey Memorial Home, which was formed in 1929, and an organization called the Fields, which was in New York City, formed in 1938, all got together and formed what we know today as Christian Missions in Many Lands. Sam Robinson, who is our president of Christian Missions in Many Lands, was then the president of Voices of the Vineyards, and a name that you may know, Fred McKenzie, who is a tremendous lifetime friend of my family's. My father worked for him in New York, was the president of the Fields organization. And those four organizations, CMML, Voices from the Vineyards, the Julia Hassey Memorial Home, and the Fields, got together in 1971, and together that is what we refer to as Christian Missions in Many Lands today. The biblical pattern is clear, and that's why I say we want to distinguish ourselves as a service organization different from what's commonly referred to as a mission board. We believe that the establishment of New Testament missions is very clearly recorded in Acts chapter 13. And there we read how the church in Antioch laid their hands on men who were called by God and sent them forth. And that's a very important biblical teaching. First is the key that we see that it is God who calls. God, through the Holy Spirit, is the one who calls individuals to missionary service. And secondly, the local churches, such as Hillview, the local church, in recognition of those spiritual gifts and the desire to serve the Lord in a foreign field, sends forth those individuals into service, whether it be abroad in foreign service or commends them to full-time service here. First, the Holy Spirit acts upon the individual, and then the local church, in recognizing those gifts, does send forth. And thirdly, it's evident that the individual missionary has the responsibility to account for his services. And we believe, again, in that biblical principle, that responsibility to account goes back to the original commending or sending assembly, not to CMML, but that responsibility is back to the local believers and not to any organization. So what is the function of Christian Missions in Many Lands? We believe that based on these biblical truths, that we operate as a service organization. Accordingly, CMML itself does not act as a central head of the Assembly Mission Organization, and it doesn't act as the central head of missionaries. And there is one exception, and I will talk about that in a few minutes. But we don't act as an organized functioning head of the Assembly missionary function. We don't send missionaries out. We don't support missionaries in terms of financial support, and we don't act as a superintendent over those missionaries. Rather, we acknowledge the Lord's call, the Holy Spirit's call of the missionary to the work, and that call is substantiated by the commendation that is offered by a local fellowship here, such as Hillview. We therefore act as a bridge to channel information, a bridge to channel assistance in many forms, and a bridge to provide services that cannot be done by the missionaries themselves or their home assemblies. Financial support for assembly missionaries is handled differently than a mission board. You're familiar with mission boards where a person who is subject to the mission board is required to go out in advance and assemble as a prerequisite a pre-established level of support before that individual is sent out. Assembly missionaries are out on the field in faith. There's no pre-established level of support. They go forth under the biblical principles, and they go out in faith and supported by the Lord's people in faith. And that support is transmitted through Christian missions in many lands, and it's supplied by the Lord's people. No deduction, and we don't want to make a big issue about this, but no deduction is taken from the financial support that we receive for operating expenses. Your gift goes through our organization 100%, and CMML itself acts in faith as an organization. We take only money that is directed and specifically identified for Christian missions in many lands operating expense. If it isn't so designated in your gift, it goes into the Lord's work in either directly to the missionaries, or maybe to a disaster fund, or maybe to an educational fund, which we can talk about a little bit here and later. But unless it's specifically marked for CMML operating expense, we do not deduct anything from your gifts. And that's I think, an important difference between a typical mission board and our operation as a service organization. CMML serves each missionary in the local assembly by a number of ways. And I mentioned first handling of the funds. We will issue a tax-deductible receipt for each contribution that is sent in by a donor, no matter how small. For federal government, you, of course, need one for a gift that is greater than $250, but we will send you, and we do send you, a tax-deductible receipt for any monetary gift. And your gifts are distributed in accordance with your wishes or suggestions. And again, for that purposes, we would remind you that technically, if you indicate your wishes on your check, it may not be deductible under IRS code. So we would encourage you to always attach a separate piece of paper. Many people just put a post-it note on it and scribble some direction, and that's fine. We receive letters, and we receive post-it notes, we receive postcards. It doesn't matter, but we would encourage you for purposes of IRS code issues not to say on your check in the memo section for Jim Jones. That does create a problem. In addition to forwarding gifts, we can work with you on a variety of things, a charitable gift annuity, a charitable remainder trust, a for a living trust, and we're going to hope that those issues don't come up in the question and answers, because I can't answer those questions. But if you call us with interest along those lines, we will put you to the right people in the staff and give you the proper directions for those. The next point I want to talk about is the government requirements, and that's the only place we act as an organization. We are required by U.S. federal government to represent the assembly missionaries wherever they may be as an organized body. And when a missionary goes out onto the foreign field, very typically in almost all countries, they need to register with the government, because that government wants to know that if there's a need, that person can be repatriated very quickly, and they want to be talking to an organized body rather than trying to track down one or two or 100 missionaries in their country. So in that case, we do act as an organization, but that's only required by either federal or local foreign governments. We can assist the missionary in obtaining visas. We can provide information on logistical information within a country for someone who is interested in obtaining that information before committing to the Lord's service in a particular area. So there's a number of things that we can do. We provide a letter of guarantee to foreign governments, so that government does know in an emergency who to contact. Speaking of emergencies, we do have what we call an emergency fund. We find that a number of times there's an emergency in the field, whether it be medical, and a missionary has to be brought home for some kind of specialized emergency treatment. Or there's a situation at home, and the funds may not immediately be available to that missionary to get home, whether it be sickness or death in the family. So we do provide in an emergency fund those kind of, or we provide for those kind of needs. On the board, outside in the hallway, you'll see a picture of accommodations, and we do provide what we call facilities or short-term facilities for missionaries traveling through our area, and they are very attractive and comfortable furnishings at the building. I see some smiles from Brian. I guess you've been there. They're very attractive, and we truly want them used. For example, as Ken might be coming from the Philippines back into this area, or to Connecticut, where he's working now in the middle of winter, it might be a little bit difficult for him to come back without maybe some assistance in clothing. So we provide both accommodations for the missionary and a clothing center where we can furnish either hot weather or cool weather clothes. And that clothing center provides, in many cases, new clothing for the person by contribution from many people around the country, or almost new. We would encourage a gift of used clothing to come in very, very good condition, because we don't want those making available that facility to feel that they're not getting anything but the nicest material. So we provide the accommodations for someone who's coming through in the area, and we will make plans for those folks to attend local meetings and actually speak to the assemblies in the area. We're fortunate in the New Jersey area to have many assemblies in the New York metropolitan area, and there's an opportunity to really be a blessing to the assemblies as they stay with us for a short period of time. And the clothing center has really been a blessing to full-time missionaries and full-time Lord-time servants, full-time servants here in the States. We also have something called the Missionary Education Assistance Fund, MEAF. I'm sure you're familiar with it. We provide educational assistance. We can't meet the total need, but we provide some assistance to the missionaries abroad in sending their children to any number of the various academies. You're, of course, familiar with Faith Academy in Manila, Sakeji School in Kenya, somebody correct me. Where else? There's a number of assembly educational facilities around the country, and for proper education, the missionary children are often sent there at great expense, both for transportation and tuition expense. So we attempt to be helpful to the missionaries abroad out of the missionary educational fund, and we will assist the missionaries from first grade up to the end of high school in providing funds. Disasters. We have a Nashville Disaster Fund, and there have been a lot of questions in the last couple of days based on the earthquake that hit El Salvador and the more recent earthquake in India. We've been in touch with our folks in El Salvador, the Saywards and the Flets. They were shaken up, to say the least. They had to rearrange furniture in their homes. Some of the local believers have lost their homes and are living in tents. And we're aware that at least one of the assemblies has some structural damage. So we will be sending shortly to Jack Sayward funds from the Disaster Relief Fund, as well as funds that we've received from MSC in Canada. And Jack will be distributing those funds to make the necessary repairs to the assembly and to help out the local believers and people in that area. We've been in touch with those in India, and while we really don't have a missionary effort in that immediate area, we're trying to determine how best to channel funds to India. We will be receiving from ECHOES in the United Kingdom some disaster funds, and we will add it to funds from CMML and forward it on to India when we can determine the appropriate means and the best use of those funds. But if you don't have a missionary on mind when you're committing funds to CMML, we would encourage you to think about the Educational Assistance Fund or the Disaster Relief Fund. There's always a need. There always seems to be a need for funds in those areas. That's a little bit about CMML. I'm going to ask Bob Bennett to come up here and talk about the various publications and things of that nature. And then we'll open it up for questions. I think we'll probably have 10 or 15 minutes at the end of Bob's.
That can be done in 3 minutes. And then we'll have a lot of time to carry on. Besides the Ministry of Assistance that Don was speaking about, we do also call ourselves a Ministry of Information, and that is the link between the missionary and the assembly at home. To keep that link open, we publish, many of you get it, the Missionary Missions Magazine, and that's a periodical out 11 times a year. Some articles, and about half the magazine are letters from the field, condensed down, some of the basic information of what's happening in their sphere of service, not always just putting a little home newsy things in. It would be great if you would communicate with a missionary and get that kind of personalized information. Share what you're doing in your home with your kids. Perhaps pick a family that's similar to yours, age-wise perhaps, and something like that. And in that communication, then you get the those little home-style innuendos. But what the purpose really is to tell the folks back here what the missionary is doing on the field in terms of their effort and their service for the Lord. Perhaps it's a glowing report. On the other hand, perhaps it's a report of some basic need, not just that financial dollar need, because our missionaries don't create a fund solicitation letter. I guess we'd tear them up. But they just don't write those kinds of letters. In fact, many missionaries are almost reluctant to express needs. Because if we say, well, this is what we need, the Lord is focusing our attention in this direction, but we need to buy or do, now we're asking for funds. And there's a fine line, I suppose, and sometimes this could be a bit of a headache. But we do try to get about 30 letters into each issue to keep them as current as we can. The time lag, by the time you send a letter from the field and it arrives back in the States and then gets into the process and the magazine is prepared 6 weeks before it actually is into the content is gathering, 6 weeks before it actually goes to the mail and you get it. You may have noticed the color that's come out through the year. Have you? Oh, good. Good, good. Phew, I'd hate to think we got involved in that and nobody noticed. We have had some neat reports, and people have sat down and taken time to email us on a number of occasions, but email letters, perhaps just a comment at the end of their acknowledgement letter that, the color is great, the magazine is beautiful. I read it all the way through now. A lady told me that face-to-face. Okay. Thanks. If it really inspired you, then it was worth it. We were a long time going into color. You probably receive a lot of other magazines in your home, and very few were two-colored, were they? Or black and white. But it was quite an expenditure to go into full color for an organization that is seeking to be good stewards for the Lord. And it's your funds that come in that we have to send out. And to spend it frivolously would be unwise, but I think we finally convinced most of the board that this would be a good move. And also, in the Lord's providence, color printing has become a whole lot more economical. Pedro Dillon, we were just sharing earlier that this is true in our field. I was a printer for a few years, about 51 years, actually. But I sold my plant, and my brother and I, we got out of it. But so that's why they made me publishing chairman. They said, well, if you're a printer, then you must know publishing. We also had, you remember that first one with the, remember that lady with the big, that thing was about 55 or 60 pounds on her head. She just walks along with that. The you haven't got this one yet. This probably is in the mail. Do you recognize that one? You did get it. Good, that's good, because that only got mailed out a couple days ago. That's good mail. But what you don't know is what's coming next month. And we're going to take you to Russia next month. So there's the cover for you. You're the only ones that have seen this. That's the truth. You're the only folks that have seen it. So you'll recognize it now when it comes in the mailbox. You'll know which one it is. That's the March issue. And don't forget, back at page 23, a lot of you get the magazine. Page 23, there's this block of color, usually hard to read. Okay, that's so that you concentrate on what's the type that's over it. But that will update your handbook. Now, that handbook is the other main piece of educational material that we publish. And I'd like to hold one up, but my mercenary attitude sold the one I had, and we sold everything off the table. And no, that's okay. I'll just wave it up. Yeah. Oh, now I have to acknowledge Ronnie Cairns of Echoes. That's his picture, which was you remember that article, the few articles on Japan and China in the magazine was that October. No, that was November issue. Okay, so one of the photos in the November issue then became our cover. And that is to keep you informed of the missionaries on the field, pertinent information about them, how to reach them, where they're located, and a photo as up-to-date as they supply. Some of them, some just don't have... When the kids are this small in the picture, and they're teenagers, you know, please, David, we need a new picture. And there are other fellow missionaries. They when the pictures are getting a little bit old. So that's not a list of all the approved missionaries in the field. A lot of folk want to get into that book. It's intended to be a prayer guide, a daily prayer guide. Echoes of Service. Australian Missionary Tidings, New Zealand, they all put out a prayer guide of missionaries who are out under their auspices or through their organization, and it's for their daily prayer attendance, not a financial criteria or reminder. It serves as that. It falls into that category simply by its existence. But that's not its intention. The intention is just to be a prayer guide so that you daily bear these missionaries up before the Lord. And repeatedly, these will come into the letters sometimes in the magazine, but repeatedly the missionaries will tell us that the prayers back home are what have gotten them through a given situation. Perhaps a real tight spot. Maybe it is something financial, and they were just on their knees before the Lord in prayer, and the help arrives through normal means, but at the miraculous time, shall we say, because it had to start on its journey maybe 2 months earlier. Someone moved by it, sent some funds, and by the time it got out into the problem spot to the missionary, it was maybe 2 months later. So you see, the Lord knew all along that they'd be in that tight spot, and that just becomes one more little testimony of the Lord's faithfulness in the field. One of the things Sam Robinson, our president, always wanted to do in form of publication was to get together a series of just those kind of stories, articles, thoughts that the missionaries have encountered that would be encouraging. God's faithfulness. And only a few responded. In fact, several stories came in and they said, but don't publish it. You see, you like to share it with your home assembly, with fellow Christians, with your other missionary workers, that kind of thing. But they certainly didn't want to be gloating over it and they just didn't want it published. Those kinds of things. So that hasn't materialized. But what has are a few booklets. We had a few booklets on the table, Getting to Grips with Missions, Biblical Financial Principles, a few of those kinds of things we've published. But we're not really in the book publishing business per se. When we go to some regional conferences, another outreach that CMML provides, We assisted the folks in this committee with some parts of today's arrangements, but this is your one of your major conferences that goes on regularly, and just a look at the bulletin board is to see that Hillview here is a very active missionary-minded assembly. We're only invited to the ones that are pretty much involved in missionary effort. It would be neat to get into an assembly that's perhaps a little more introspective and be able to share and open it up and get them excited about some of the activity. But we only go where we're invited, so it's usually the more active assemblies in missionary endeavor that invite us, and we're able to work the day as a full regional conference. Some are repetitive. We go to a couple places annually, and some biannually, some every 3 years. And as we were telling somebody before, well, sometimes those all end up in the same year. We ended up with 12 conferences 1 year, and another year only 4. So it all depends on timing. But beside the magazine, which is every month except your July-August combo, the handbook, fresh every year. Did you get your handbook yet this year? Oh, I have one. Thank you. No, it's new. Where's yours? Oh, well, it's only 3 years old. There, last year, there are about 45 names out and then new ones in. So if you look in the back cover of the book, the difference is maybe only 4 or 5 that makes up of new ones. But there are some 40 or so new names that went in to replace those that went out. So we're still working with about 700 names in the prayer handbook. But they're new. And if nothing else has changed, the email certainly did. And probably changed twice. So, and don't try to reach Kathy Von Metting, because that changed. And the book just came out 2 weeks ago. So, you know, it's that's probably the one bane in our life is email. However, email does bring those missionary letters right to the office from the point of creation. You sit at the computer and it goes, instead of sitting at a typewriter, and it goes snail mail. And unfortunately, it's lost on a number of occasions. Did you get those 2 pictures I sent? No. The other ones came. Oh. So, you know, it does, unfortunately, it happens from the Philippines even. Steve St. Clair's envelope never did arrive. And things like that. It just, it doesn't matter what country either. Pick on Philippines, Brazil, Austria didn't never arrive. It just, the email is right there. Now, of course, then people have been picking up on email, and sometimes they send a lot of extraneous stuff that you don't need, and you wish we didn't have to sit and read and decide whether or not this was a new letter or this goes over here. There's almost too much comes through, but it does narrow that time gap. So the email doesn't help us printers, but it does bring that communication gap much, much closer. And that then they can prepare one message and get it back to their home assembly, and perhaps out to others, as their newsletter might go out monthly. And you can do this a couple of times a month instead of one preparing this one long message at the at month's end or something. So the communication gap has been greatly narrowed with the electronic age, and I have to tell you that right here in San Jose, do I? The videos that were referred to, there are a few videos at the office. You could, if you were interested in trying to come up with a series or something, you could ask for a specific list of all of them that are available. But one that's currently in production is to update the ministry of CMML. I think we still are working with a 16-millimeter film, and we've run out of projectors around the country, so we had to do something with this. There's one last segment is being worked on. We've been working with a young fella up in New Brunswick, Canada, Outreach Productions, and it's 80% done. He's come down a few times, taken some photos. We were waiting to get the new office, which is pictured on the board outside there, get some new furniture, and get that into the production. So that's coming along. But rather than just keep babbling along, perhaps it would be neat if we just opened up to some questions and see what confusion lies in your minds, and maybe we can help. Uh-oh. You have to answer some, too. Yeah. Yeah, how's Sam?
You know Sam.
Several asked about Sam Robinson. He was out here in California visiting his daughter over the holidays, and going home, he didn't feel all that great on Wednesday, but the flight home, he had kind of a backache. And of course, you know, he'd been told that heart attacks and everything, it doesn't affect, it's not your back. You'll feel it in your chest. It's not in your back. But he didn't feel good at all going home. By Sunday, it was bad enough that his wife wanted him to go to the hospital, but he says there's no doctors there on Sunday, so he didn't go to Monday. This is back from Wednesday or Thursday. So at that point, an angioplast was ineffective, but it did determine that he had had a heart attack probably 4 days earlier. So it wasn't that serious. The man is still traveling. But unfortunately, what they found was arteries completely blocked, 100%, 80%, 80%. It was not good. So he did have to have stayed right in the hospital and had to have bypass surgery by the end of the week. And although it was only a double bypass, the reasoning wasn't because that's all he needed. It was because the heart was damaged at the lower end of the heart. So he's coming along though very well. The operation per se went well, and he's coming along to that extent. But he tires very, very quickly. He has been in the office. We spent a couple hours in the office on Tuesday with him, and then he had to go off on an errand, so it wasn't like, oh, I'm exhausted, I'll drop. But there's definitely a new frailty that we haven't seen in Sam in all these years. So those of you who know him personally and are familiar with him, I do pray and that the Lord will strengthen and bring him back to service quickly. This perhaps would make him reconsider presidency and continuing on, but at this point, that's not even talked about yet. Somebody can voice a question. On the check itself.
On the check, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because, see, the check is actually your record.
Attach a letter or a post-it note or something.
Yeah, but don't tell them post-it note. We'll get in trouble back at the office. They don't like all they don't like these little, especially post-it notes, because they disappear. You find them on the floor.
I joined the office staff recently, and I asked where we kept post-it notes, and I was lectured. John doesn't like it.
Yeah. You don't want to write the mission.
Not on the check, right.
Not on the check.
Yeah.
Any place but on the check.
A piece of paper, yeah. A separate sheet of paper. Yeah. Yeah, just not on a, but on a paper do.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Because you can ask us to send it so-and-so, and then we abide, but we have historically abode by 100% of the donor's requests. But to the IRS, the funds are given to CMML, and CMML, at its discretion, forwards them to the work under the auspices of. You don't give funds to individual people. There's no receipting for that kind of thing. So what would happen is probably nothing unless you happen to be audited, and they find the cross-referencing of the check and so on. The government, unfortunately, is won't be too long before we will have to notify the government of a full listing of all donors' names and amounts. That's not an idea. That's on paper. It just needs to get through some areas of Congress, etc.
Question?
What's the best way to get funds to workers, foreign workers that are working overseas? Say, there was a worker from Britain. Obviously, he's not going to be in the CMML handbook. Is there a way that we can go through CMML?
Yes. You can send it to us, particularly with Echoes of Service in the United Kingdom, so that we are not sending dollars to United Kingdom workers. We maintain a sterling account in the States, and they maintain a dollar account, so we kind of work with each other's accounts so that we're not being charged $50 to change currency one way or the other. But yes, you can send it to us, and we will forward it to Echoes, and they will forward it along.
the encouragement of using the association, using an organization such, and a service organization like CMML, to forward funds is the knowledge, perhaps, of the office as to the countries that can receive checks, can receive U.S. currency. Well-meaning Christians may write a nice letter and put a check into a missionary in Germany. And what do they charge them? $25 to cash a $10 check.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's impractical.
To change currency today is very expensive, so it's best that come through.
Even to continue on that way, is it possible for you to assist workers in other countries with getting money to other countries without having to go through all of the a friend in Switzerland who wants to see money go to another place, Russia, but there's no, can you guys?
Yes, because we frequently are asked by missionaries in the field to, you know, either they send a check or they ask us to deduct X from their account and forward it to somewhere else. Yeah.
Provided, but it needs to be going to a commended worker,
right.
as opposed to national.
We'll have a little trouble on certain funds. Sterling pounds is one thing where it's no problem, but certain currencies, yeah, we do sustain an exchange charge as well.
But then you have organizations in some of those other countries now that are developing. In fact, there's a conference coming up in May, and there are 19 organizations invited to that over in ECHOS in we'll be meeting in England. And for instance, throughout the Far East, especially in Malaysia and Singapore, there are sending organizations there. There are groups that act in the same capacity for assembly workers as CMML and MSC and ECHOS. And these missionaries are able to get up into Mongolia and backside of China and areas where you know, the Westerner is just a standout and absolutely.
You get all the context.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And another question.
Sure.
I always read it from cover to cover, but I should read it now. But you guys, on the information side of things, have you guys considered a website?
A what?
If
you tell me because you
promise not to tell. This answer is going to come back to me and haunt us, I think. We did file and register 5 domain names 10 days ago. We've been working on that for a while, and I joined the staff a month ago and found out that we hadn't done it, even though the board had asked the staff to do it some time ago. So we went ahead and filed. You will probably, when we get there, and I'm hoping that it won't take us more than a couple of months, 6 months at the worst, you'll probably best find us under the name of cmmlusa.com. And we filed the 5 names, and maybe we'll use 2 others as pointers to the main website. But yeah, we'll hope to have a website very, very shortly.
There's always a contention. What do you put on it? And certainly don't want the missionaries' names listed and named out, because we did ask a question on the questionnaire that goes out to all the missionaries about a website. Would you want to be on there? And I haven't physically added pros and cons, but there were some yes, oh yes, yeah, no, definitely not. Now, why do you have other areas in day 15 and 16? Because there's some that just need to be, you know, low profile. So those are obvious. But there are some others that just don't want to be on a junk list. And please, and that's the email is hitting that now probably more than the mails had. Canada backed away from there. They got all the missionaries on the list, and then they took a second look at it. They kind of backed away from that.
It's very expensive in some areas of the world for a missionary to receive email because of the expensive downloading time. So it's, you know, And just the propriety of information. We don't want to. We will not put an address list out on it. We will give you a full copy of the magazine on a website. Yes, that's one of the things we will definitely do.
Yeah. Yeah, that should get on there. And the gal that now is working with us came in June to begin on the magazine, work part-time. We set up the equipment in her home because she was still employed full-time with another company, has left and is full-time in the office now with us. And this will perk things up to get material more up-to-date. But also, she has experience in having developed some websites. She worked on the one for Loazo and so on. So that will come, and I hope a lot sooner than
Time's up, but we'll maybe steal a couple more minutes.
And then, going back to the issue of spending money to non-U.S. People who are not commended from the U.S., what about someone who is commended from assembling in a country but is not necessarily on the roster with that country's spending organization?
But if you're specifically referring to a commended person, then, as far as charter-wise or bylaws or IRS, then that's not a problem.
Yeah. We might have to contact another service organization
to actually forward it.
In the event that we can't confirm that, we might return the check, but it's our intent to follow your wishes and get the money to a commended assembly missionary. Yes.
So should people talk to
call in and we'll answer any questions you have.
Mm-hmm.
Any more?
There's a question about the makeup of the magazine.
He's the man.
You were dedicating the OO magazine to the Philippines. Is this picture
Can you see the black and blue bruises?
No, I don't want to measure. I don't want to.
The first 2-3 color proofs all look like China. With the ox and the rice field, everything, and it was listed for Philippines. It all looked like China. That's the wrong one. Well, then just use the generic winter scene.
Everyone I know has asked Bob, why do we have a picture of the Alps on the Philippines issue?
The cover.
Yeah, sure. That's a thought. That would be a thought, yeah.
Aren't they beautiful?
Yeah. But that's why in February we put on the bottom of the Zulu women, because that's a photo from 1955. It was a slide. And several of the pictures inside, they're from that era. And you know what happens to slides after 50 years. They start to lose some of their color. So it was a little tough to pull that one together. But again, today's electronic manipulation got a lot more color back into this one.
Thank you. So. We better defer to Bill, or we'll be.
Got to keep going.